Welcome to Thriving with Arthritis. I'm Dr. Diana Garnita, your host and an experienced rheumatologist. In this podcast, we explore arthritis and autoimmune diseases, covering topics like rheumatoid arthritis, psoriatic arthritis, ankylosing spondylitis, gout, and much more. From valuable insights to cutting-edge research, this podcast is your guide. Whether you are new to this condition or you are a long-time warrior, Thriving with Arthritis is here to support you. Welcome back to my podcast, Thriving with Arthritis. I am your host, Dr. Diana Garnita. Today, we are tackling a topic that affects millions of people all over the world, obesity. Did you know that obesity is not just a risk factor for heart disease and diabetes, but it's also a risk factor for psoriasis and arthritis? And there are different forms of arthritis like psoriatic arthritis, rheumatoid arthritis, and osteoarthritis, and they are all connected or greatly affected by obesity. That is why in this episode, I have invited a great friend and also an expert in the field, Dr. Mirella Tiziano. Dr. Tiziano, welcome to the podcast.
Oh, thank you for having me. It's a pleasure to be here, and I hope that this collaboration is going to be great for the patients and we can help them in any way.
Let me tell you a little bit about Dr. Mirella Tiziano. She graduated medical school in Iași, Romania. She did her internal medicine residency at Wayne State University in Rochester, Minnesota. She lived in Canada, but then she relocated to the United States to pursue further training. She is board certified in internal medicine, but also in lifestyle medicine and obesity. And Mirella is also a nutrition coach for sport medicine. She lives in Medford, Oregon, with her husband and two lovely boys. Mirella, we know each other for a long time, and I have always respected you for your drive to never stop learning and also teaching the others. But since today, everyone talks about how to tackle obesity, I invited you to talk a little bit about what is obesity. And as you probably know, most of us think about obesity as a stigma. And is truly obesity driven by overeating?
Thank you so much, Diana, for the kind introduction. I appreciate that. I can say that obesity is a disease. It's the same as high blood pressure, it's the same as any kind of disease. And unfortunately, there is a stigma and people, they live, stigmatized. And it should not be like that. It's a complex disease. It's implying many factors like hormonal, implying stress. If you have a chronic stress, you have a high cortisol, then you have, weight gain. Many, many factors. It's also brain driven. The hunger, like ghrelin. So it's a very complex and needs a lot of support, needs help, needs nutrition support, lifestyle support, lifestyle changes, many, many steps. But yes, a lot of sympathy for people who have obesity.
What are the main consequences of this disease, obesity?
Obesity, it's an adipose tissue or fat, is an endocrine factor, secretes around like 600 at least enzymes, which are, for example, insulin resistance, many, many inflammatory factors, secretes also like tumorogenic factors that are high risk tumors, including breast cancer, uterine cancer. So obesity is its endocrine factory. And for this reason, I think we should pay more attention to that and to sympathize more with people with obesity and to help them. Yeah, so I think having those medications to help them will have a big impact in their lives and also the perception they have. I think that some people have like a wrong perception. It's like overeating. It's not just that. People are struggling with many, many other factors, including like sleep deprivation. When you have like sleep deprivation, you can have cortisol increase, melatonin is going to decrease. So many, many other factors, it's implicated.
We all know, and it's common thinking that obesity is affecting the heart or it will increase the risk for heart disease. We know about obesity increasing the insulin resistance and also the risk for diabetes. But there are very few people that they know that obesity is linked to psoriasis or is linked to osteoarthritis or even rheumatoid arthritis. There are many of my patients that are actually struggling with autoimmune diseases like rheumatoid arthritis, but they also struggle with obesity. So I think it's important for us to let people know that obesity, it's a very complex disease, as you said, but it also can affect multiple other situations, including autoimmune diseases. You mentioned something about medication, and I know the interest is there since the last November when FDA approved Mounjaro for managing obesity. It was a huge interest that my patients started to have for prescribing medication to address obesity. And there are also clinics everywhere you see or you go, you see clinics that are offering to prescribe these medications. But I also think it's important to take a step back and find out more about the role of these medications. So I'm going to start with a question about what are today the FDA drugs approved for weight loss?
There are some options. Those medications, for example, are given for if you have a BMI more than 27 and you have one comorbidity, such as like diabetes, or you have GERD, or you have obstructive sleep apnea, or you have high blood pressure, any of those, you can be a candidate for anti-obesity medications. There are a few. One is like, could be like phentermine, but those are in selected people, no more than, you know, people that have more than 70, not really a good option, or have a cardiac disease, try to avoid those because phentermine is a increase the blood pressure, increase the heart rate. Another medication is like a combination between phentermine and topiramate, which has a modest weight loss. Another will be bupropion and naltrexone, which is called like Contrave. Another is semaglutide or Ozempic, which is a big pharmaceutical impact now. And the new one that you said, Diana, is Mounjaro or tirzepatide or Zepbound. So those medications are prescribed for obesity and any other disease, could be also prescribed in type 1 diabetes. They are not approved for type 1 diabetes, but they are approved for obesity in association with type 1 diabetes or type 2 diabetes.
And how do these drugs work? The Ozempic, Mounjaro, Zepbound, how do they work? What is their mechanism of action?
Yeah, so those medications, they are like act in the brain, in the hypothalamus, especially Ozempic and tirzepatide. We're going to decrease the appetite, decrease the hunger, and decrease the ghrelin, which is driven for the increased hunger. And also act in the pancreas. It's called incretin, increase the insulin, meaning that you're going to have to with the secretion of the insulin. And they are good medication in the sense that sometimes you have a good weight loss. Actually, tirzepatide has bigger weight loss than Ozempic, just because tirzepatide has a combination between GLP-1 analog, which is the same as semaglutide, but it's a glucagon cotransporter, insulinotropic. So those, it's a dual tirzepatide. That's why it has more weight loss. Could be like up to like 20%. With Ozempic, you can have like 15-17%. However, it varies depending on the patients. There are great medications. There are some contraindications. For example, if you have family history or if you have medullary thyroid cancer, it's a contraindication. Only for this specific, like medullary. If you have a papillary, that's fine. So for the medullary thyroid cancer, if you have idiopathic pancreatitis, again, those are contraindicated because they are incretin, meaning that secreting the insulin, irritate the pancreas. But if you have, for example, pancreatitis because of gallbladder disease and the gallbladder is out, it is fine. You can give those medications.
So you are talking about contraindications, and I would like to know, and I know that many patients would like to know, how safe are they and what are the major side effects that you have seen in your patients?
Those patients usually, they have, for example, Ozempic or GLP analog, they have pancreatitis risk less than 1%. But in the same time, we have to remember that diabetes by itself have like 2 to 3-fold risk for pancreatitis. And it's not just the drug itself. And also, can increase like gastroparesis, meaning the emptying of the stomach is getting slower or is a little bit impaired just because you want to have a full increase of satiety. So like gastroparesis is another side effect, but also can be caused by diabetes. If you have a diabetes, you can have gastroparesis, like neuropathic. also can cause pancreatitis, elevation of the amylase and lipase. But if you have just elevation of amylase and lipase, which are pancreatic enzymes, you can continue the medication and you can stop it only if you have abdominal pain, which is a sign for pancreatitis.
Is there one drug better than the other one? You tackled a little bit about that, but patients will ask me, and I think it's going to ask you, if there is one drug better than the other one, and what happens if one drug doesn't work for you? Can you switch between them?
Yes, definitely. You can switch, for example, from Ozempic, semaglutide, you can switch to tirzepatide. Tirzepatide has better weight loss. It's a stronger medication, has more weight loss than semaglutide. You can go to up to 20%, which is great. So I think more promising results with Zepbound or Mounjaro.
I see. You know, a lot of people are interested to lose belly fat. Can these drugs help you lose the belly fat?
Yes. Belly fat is, let's say that, everybody's going to have it in one way or another. I think belly fat is a big topic. I think
Yes. It's
hormonal. We are getting older. This is what this is. Like hormonal is also, I think it's related to, I was reading about sleep. You have, cortisol, chronic stress, high cortisol. So all the increasing the high cortisol, you're going to have increase the metabolic syndrome. And usually metabolic syndrome is when you have high cortisol, persistent high cortisol by deprivation of sleep or stress, chronic stress, then you're going to have some insulin resistance and metabolic syndrome with abdominal belly fat. I think they help because the semaglutide, tirzepatide, those medication, even metformin. Metformin is good for insulin resistance, has some weight loss. So I think those medications will going to help with losing visceral, the belly fat.
And, another question that my patients ask is, how long is it going to take until this medication will provide the results that they are looking for?
Yeah, usually I think 3 months we look to have like 5-10% weight loss sometimes. And those medications, they should start slow. Like a slow titration. Because if you start like 1 milligram of semaglutide or higher dose of tirzepatide, your pancreas is not going to respond well and you're going to have nausea, vomiting. So they start a very slow dose. You can start very like, for example, semaglutide 0.25, very low dose and titrate pretty much monthly and depending on your symptoms, depending if you have nausea, vomiting. Yeah, so it's like very slowly and they are titrating depending on your symptoms, basically. But they can cause nausea and vomiting.
So about 3 months, they will start seeing effects and then...
In 3 months, you can see if you have a respond or not. But for those medications, I said, we're going to take 5 months around to have a full response because they start like every month, you're going to increase the dose. So they are not like 3 months. 3 months, but probably for all other anti-obesity medications, as I mentioned earlier. And for those, it takes some time, 5 months or 6 months, depends how you respond to that.
Let's say in about 1 year, you reach out to the ideal weight that you are looking for. What's happening at that point? Can you stop the medication? And, for other people that are wondering how long they can continue on this medication, can you tell us about that?
Yes. As I said, obesity is it's a disease. It's a chronic disease. It's like a high blood pressure. It's the same thing. So if you stop the medication, there is a likelihood that you're going to get the same weight that you start taking before starting taking the medication. You're going to gain the same weight. The expect is like probably in 1 year or so. Unless if you do drastic lifestyle changes or doing something, cut your sugar, doing something, drastic changes. But generally speaking, they are like lifelong medications to keep a good weight loss.
So basically, if you are going to reach that ideal weight, you have to implement some drastic lifestyle changes or you continue the medication. And because you mentioned the lifestyle changes, are there any natural alternatives to these weight loss drugs?
Natural? I don't know exactly. No, I don't know. But I think natural, what I say my patients, is good to incorporate in your diet more fiber, meaning eat vegetables, fruits, because fiber is going to make you full. any going to decrease the absorption of the glucose, the carbohydrates that you are eating. So there is no fiber, zero fiber in any animal product. So every day eggs, every day meat, every day, you know, it's a lot of inflammation to add to your health. Yeah, I think it's about to have some moderation and depends what your goals are and what you want. Yeah.
You know, you also mentioned in your talk about the importance of eating fibers. You said about sleeping well and about managing stress. And I think that those are important aspects of lifestyle that we as physicians should bring to the patients and insist on how important it is to have a good amount of sleep, but also good quality sleep. And it's also important how to address the stress that we have in our lives. Things that we can change, we should change them, but things that we cannot change, we should accept them as they are. And I'm glad you mentioned all these things because I constantly talk to my patients about the importance of lifestyle. Now, we started talking about the connection between obesity and arthritis, and I know that you are an expert into obesity, and I know that you can explain to us why is obesity creating inflammation and how is obesity connected with arthritis. And obviously, I'm going to point out a few things as well from the rheumatology point of view.
Yeah, I think you know more than me in this topic. But yeah, I think obesity is like, it's a factory. It's producing, it's inflammation. Adipose tissue or fat is producing many, many substances. Place your risk for inflammation, like inflammatory factors, ERP increasing also in obesity. So even in COVID, you have obesity and you have COVID, you have lingering COVID symptoms in people with obesity just because they have AC, angiotensin converting enzyme in adipose tissue. So they are binding, the COVID is binding to that. So they have more other, you know, health issue. I think it's linked. I will let you discuss more, but I think it's a correlation just because of the endocrine system that is obesity.
Yeah, as far as I know, and I was invested to learn more about this topic in relationship with my autoimmune diseases, I did find out that people, first of all, like you said, obesity is linked to our immune system, but it's also linked to our endocrine system. And in those adipose tissues, there are a lot of substances that are produced like interleukins, which are inflammatory molecules, or other hormones like leptin that can influence, you know, our endocrine system, but also our immune system. And what we know from the rheumatology point of view is that obesity affects people with arthritis, not only because of the weight that will be more weight on the joints, more wear and tear on the joints, more risk for developing knee osteoarthritis, but obesity was also linked to an increased risk to develop rheumatoid arthritis or an increased risk to develop psoriasis and psoriatic arthritis. And recently, I was reading about the fact that obesity is also increasing the risk for autoimmunity. And, you know, in the past, we were trying to treat only my disease or the endocrinologist will treat his disease and people from diabetes, you know, they will treat diabetes. But I think we have to understand that the human body is more complex than one disease and is more complex than one organ. And tackling obesity, not only it's going to help with, like you said, diabetes, high blood pressure, but it's also going to help with decreasing the risk to wear and tear your joints or decreasing the risk to develop autoimmune diseases. Thank you so much for your input. I think it's absolutely great to have the opportunity to talk to an expert in obesity. We appreciate your time and your effort to explain to us what obesity means. We hope to have you in another show. And once again, thank you.
Thank you, Diana. Thank you so much for this opportunity. And it's my passion to, you know, every time when I have time to talk to my patients about this, it's amazing. And I think what I tell my patients is like, you know, it's so good to get connected with your old friends and be, you know, even if you have any problem in your life, getting, because connection is so important and being happy, it's good for the health.
That's true.
Just the extra.
That is all.
Thank you so much. Yeah, I just want to tell that I appreciate the collaboration we have together, and hopefully we're going to meet next time and with more questions. If they have any other questions, we'll be happy to answer.
Great. That is all for today's episode, Thriving with Arthritis. We hope that you found our discussion on obesity and its impact on arthritis very helpful to you. Remember, managing weight is not about looking good. It's about feeling good and improving your overall health. If you are struggling with obesity and arthritis, don't hesitate to seek help to experts like me in rheumatology, like Dr. Mirella Tiziano in obesity, because you need something personalized for your lifestyle. Join me in our next episode, where together with my guest, I will give you more insights, more stories, more tips about how to manage your life with arthritis. Until then, stay positive, stay active, and continue to thrive with arthritis. Thank you.
Thank you for joining Thriving with Arthritis podcast. If you find today's episode valuable, please subscribe. Consider to leave us a review, as your feedback helps us improve and reach out to more people like you. Remember, you are not alone in your journey with arthritis and autoimmune diseases. Together, we can learn, grow, thrive, and not just survive. Stay tuned for our next episode, where we will dive deeper into more topics that will matter to you. Until then, keep thriving.